Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. It's always cool when your mom comes and flies specifically to hear you preach. I know that's the only reason why she came. She flew all the way from Arizona, and boy, her arms are tired. Where did I say to go? I just checking. Look at the book of 1 John. We're going to start reading out of chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we have gathered together today in your name. Lord, we want to honor you. We want to magnify you. We want to brag on you. Lord, you're the one who saved our souls. You're the one that died for our sins. You're the one that loved us more than we could possibly ever love you back. And Lord, we want to give you honor and glory today. Amen. We pray that you would help us to do just that. Accomplish your will as you see fit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I've had this verse on my mind, and I was trying to figure out if I'd preached it recently or not. And so, even if I have, it's not going to hurt us. But if I had, and I used to write the dates on some of my sermons, this one I didn't do it, but I just got a brand new sermon out of it. I guess the last couple of weeks I've been contemplating the love of God, just the incredible, incredible love that God has for us, and especially contrasted with what we normally think of as love. And I just very appreciative and thankful to the Lord for what he's done. And so that's why I want to bring this passage, not only as an appreciation to us as Christians to appreciate afresh the love that God has towards us, but also as a challenge to maybe somebody here that doesn't know the Lord or has never given their life to the Lord, that just exactly what it means when we say God loves you. Because there's more to it than what you think. Sometimes we get real cheap. I know that just the word love, I mean, we use it very, very loosely, and we use it for just about everything, you know. And I've been guilty of saying that I love Exxon hot dogs, you know. I mean, I just absolutely love them. They're not always good for you, you know. But I love them, you know. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying that I am committed to them? No, because I eat other food. I cheat on Exxon hot dogs. I eat other food. I'm not committed to them. You know, I'm going to die for them. No, I might die because of them, but I'm not going to die for them. We use it kind of loosely, you know, that I love something. But, you know, it's different when God says that he loves us. Amen. And that's why this passage starts out with this word, incredible word, behold. You know what he's trying to do in this passage right here? He's trying to get our attention. He wants us to focus in and look. And I know in our modern generation, it's hard for us to focus, right? It's hard for us to think about something for more than a couple of seconds at a time. And it is. It's hard getting people's attention. I mean, we're out there on those of you who went out on the streets this week, maybe Wednesday, maybe Sunday, maybe a different day. You held out your Bibles and you preached, and people just walked by like, you know, it's hard getting people's attention. It's It's hard because people are distracted, you know, they've got so many other things on their mind. You know, what is it? How is it that we can possibly get your attention long enough to look at this and see how incredible this statement is right here? To say, behold, I remember a couple of weeks ago I was in Goodwill and almost got hurt because they came over the loudspeaker and they announced that for the next 30 minutes, all jeans are $2. All of a sudden, this lady body blocked me from behind because I was blocking the aisle, man. And I mean, they were over there. Hey, there was an announcement that got somebody's attention, you know. They heard that and they listened to it. I wish everybody could pay attention to this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be God. That we should be called the sons of God. You know something? This is worth checking out. This here is worth checking out. You tell people that God loves them and they just shrug their shoulders and they say, well, of course God loves you. Well, let's investigate a little bit and let's see what manner of love this is that God has for us. You know what I'd like to say? First of all, we're going to look at some of these words, and we're going to use them as kind of keynotes to kind of identify God's love. He says, what manner of love the Father? I want to kind of switch those around a little bit and just let you consider for a minute the source of God's love, the source of this love that he's talking about here. And of course, it comes from the Father. You think, well, you know, that's people assume that that's exactly, but you know what? God is the creator of the universe. He is the originator of life. And some people might tend to doubt that, you know, but I'm telling you, even scientific evidence proves that God's the originator of life. I mean, you can look at the thumbprint of God just about any place in this solar system. You can look. I mean, the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And yeah, we're not trying to make the point that there is a God. We're assuming that there is a God because of what we see around us. And what we find out from this book right here is that this God is a God of love. I've heard it preached before that what if God wasn't? You know, what if he wasn't? What if God wasn't a God of love? What if he was the supreme creator? What if he was the supreme command? And he was over everything, had intimate control over our life, but he wasn't a God of love. Suppose he was just an impassionate God. Suppose he was a God that didn't really care. Suppose he was the complete opposite of love. Suppose he was an evil God. You know, what would we do? We have no control. I'm telling you something. When we figure out that this God, the one who has life and death in his hands, is a God of love, boy, I'm telling you, that's an incredible thing. It's because of the source. Because it comes from God the Father. You know, it's pretty important who the source of that love is. And he says, what manner of love? There's an old country, well, okay, I'm not going to quote a country song. I'm going to discipline myself. I'm not going to quote it. I'm not going to digest. You know, think about this for a minute. This kind of love that God has for us. Because he says, what manner? Think of it. What manner of love this is. Now, how do we identify the love of God? How do we figure out? Well, you know, we go back to the source again. We go back to this book right here. Now, God has given us incredible direction. He has given us direction in the Bible on how we're to love. I'll take you to one place first, and it's found in John in chapter 13. Because what we do is, in order to identify how God loves us, we kind of see what his ideas of love are. And John chapter 13, actually, that's a good passage, and I'm going to read that in a little while, but Go to John chapter 15. He says there in verse 9, he says, and this is Jesus Christ talking, and he says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now just think about that statement for a little. This is a commandment that comes from God. And it's obvious that this commandment comes from His very idea of love. And what is that idea? That you love one another as I have loved you. So God takes Himself as the example. And He says, as I have loved you, then you love one another. Well, consider what manner of love this is that God has for us. Man, it's an unconditional love. Man, it's such an incredible love. He says, you take that same love and you love one another. Now, consider this. If that were the case, and if human beings decided in their mind that for the most part they were going to practice this kind of love, we wouldn't have troops over in Afghanistan right now. The Twin Towers would still be standing. We wouldn't be having the conflicts, the murders. I mean, so many things in our society would be immediately taken care of if we just practiced this verse right here. That tells you that this is an unusual kind of love. Behold! That means pay attention to this. Look at this. This is an incredible kind of love. If we put this kind of love in practice, nations wouldn't be rising up against nations anymore if we just loved each other as He loved us. Unfortunately, it's hard for us to put that into practice. Look at Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5. And look what it says in verse 25. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself for it." Now that's an incredible statement right there. You know, if husbands were to practice that, you know how many kids would still have a dad? Amen. You know, one of the incredible things about families that we found out when we years ago when we got with some other families and started a support group for parents that have disabled kids, is we found out that many times when there's a child that has special needs, then the husbands, they bug out because that wasn't in the plan. You know, having a disabled child wasn't in the plan. What the plan was is they get a boy who they could put in football, you know, and that they could get some glory out of. And when that doesn't happen, and all of a sudden their fishing trips are messed up and other things are messed up, man, they bug out. You know what that kind of love is? That's a selfish kind of love. You love yourself. And in fact, I have to admit that one of the reasons I chose my wife is not because I loved her, but because I loved myself. I've had other opportunities. Sorry, Judy, I don't mean to. In fact, I'll tell you one opportunity. As long as you promise not to tell anybody else, okay? Just between you and me. If somebody set me up on a blind date once and says, "You're just going to love this girl." Well, there were several factors that were going to keep that from happening. Number one, well, there were several other things. Two of the main things was that she smoked like a chimney and she had a kid out of wedlock. There were other things that I'm not going to go in and mention. And so I went back to the person who set me up on this thing, and I said, "What are you thinking?" "Oh, well, she just needs somebody nice." "Well, yeah, you know, I appreciate that, but I'm not the one, you know? When it came to me getting married, I'm not on a rescue mission, you know? I'm not like some of these girls, you know, they want to rescue these bums, you know, and they want to bring them in and rehabilitate them. No, I wanted somebody who was already rehabilitated, thank you very much. I wanted somebody who could step in and do the job from the first day, you know. Oh, man. So, yeah, you know, even my love is not the same as Christ's love for the church. But think about that. How many kids would still have a dad? How many families would still be together? Because you know something, the strength of a nation is in the families. Amen. The family unit is important. And we put a lot of, you know, we've taken away a lot of the importance on that. But, oh, I'm telling you something that's real important. You know, one of the things that my kids have said over and over again is that one of the reasons they feel comforted, that they feel safe, is because they can come home and they know mom and dad love each other. And that they're not throwing dishes, you know, not every day of the week, maybe every now and then, but for them, and you know how unusual that is nowadays? Oh man, a lot of kids growing up now and they don't even know where mom or dad is, and they're staying with here or going over there, and it's become real hard, and it has affected us. Man, there's just two examples right there. Okay, we could go on and on. We could look at other examples. Here's just two examples. One that affects the family and one that affects the nation, where if we instituted God's idea of what love is, it would transform us. Amen. It would absolutely make us better. Amen. And yet we think we got a better idea than God. We think that we have these alternative ways, and in fact, we as human society are doing everything we can to push God out. Get Him out of our courts. You know, they're raising protests because those Ten Commandments are up on the wall in some courtroom somewhere. Or commanding our students not to pray in school. Well, I'm sorry, they may not gather at the flagpole. You can stop them from doing that. But test day comes around, you cannot stop kids from praying. They're going to be praying in school. You know, we want to push God out, you know. We want to make it offensive. You know, we want to take away these particular terms, you know. They had an incident not long ago at the school where they were debating whether or not the kids from the Christian Bible Club over there at Southside should be included in the yearbook. No, if we put them in there, it'd be an endorsement of religion. I mean, just silly stuff where you go out of your way to push God out. And you know what God's trying to do? He's trying to get our attention. He says, behold, man, you've seen what kind of love yours. There's a verse in Matthew that says, Matthew chapter 24, help me out. I know you Bible scholars know this verse. It says, what's the verse that talks about the love of many waxing cold? Finish that verse. Start it off for me. Somebody help me out. Google it. Do something. Help me out. When sin abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. I think sin's abounding. I think there's more sin in the world than there is love. Because we got a ton of broken families. We got a bunch of people that aren't walking around because they were murdered before they were ever born. Sin's abounding and love's waxing cold. You know, we figured out how to cure diabetes. We can take DNA and they think they're getting close to actually being able to clone another human being. As if the audacity of men that think that they actually are close to creating life, you know, it makes you want to laugh. And yet we can't figure out how to love one another. Well, I got a clue. It's because this manner of love that God has, this incredible love that He's given us, we've just pushed that out altogether. We've come up with our own kind of love. But consider this. This love, we'll give you two examples right here of how it could transform us completely, this kind of love. And the two examples both had to do with Christ's love for us. Now you think about that for a minute. Because he says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It makes sense when you consider a situation where there's somebody who is actually deserving of love, and you can nod and say, yeah, that makes sense. But when somebody goes in and loves something, and there's just no absolute reason for it, now you in your own pride, you might think that there's actually a reason why God loves you.
Amen, right?
See if we can figure it out. Oh, well, you know, God loves me because, you know, inside I'm basically a decent and a good person. You know, we have actually repeated that so long, we actually believe it now. In everybody, there's a flame of... No, I'm sorry. There are some people that in them is no flame of good.
Amen.
Some of these dictators, Idi Amin and Hitler, man, there's no good in them. They are rotten to the core. But let me tell you something. There's nothing good in you either.
Amen.
Boy, it's an awakening when you look inside yourself and you realize there's nothing about you that God desires. I mean, what are you going to add to Him? What kind of special skill do you have that God would just love to have on His team? You know, I heard it one time where we had a guy come in, and this guy was like a little soap salesman, sold soap on driveways, you know, door to door. And man, you talk about talking up a... This guy could say... I almost bought the soap, man. That's how good he was. And I heard someone in the church saying, man, if we could only get him saved. You know, what we could have, you know, what we could have on our team. God doesn't need him. He doesn't need people that have special talent. Because I looked and I saw a tape one time of a guy who had cerebral palsy and he could barely speak. But he was up there preaching the gospel and people were getting touched and saved.
Amen.
God doesn't need you.
Amen.
God doesn't need your resources. Now, maybe you're outside salesman somewhere. Some company might really like to have you because you've got a Rolodex. Well, they don't use Rolodexes anymore, but you've got a database that is just full of potential clients. And so, yeah, they'd like to have you on our team. I'm telling you, you don't have any influence. You don't have any beauty. You don't have any special skill. You don't have any talents. You've got nothing that God needs. He is complete in and of Himself. You don't add anything to Him. Behold, it says right here, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Upon us? I'm telling you, that's an incredible thing. We preach all the time that God loves you. Wouldn't you like to find out why? Wouldn't it pique your curiosity just a little bit to find out what this love is all about? Because you've already experienced the other kind of love. You've experienced the love where someone said that they loved you, and then it was only for a little while until their interests went somewhere else. That's not God's kind of love. Jesus Christ said in His Word, He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
And so far He's backed it up. He gives His Word that He loves us. This is an incredible kind of love. Now look over there first at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, I want to reread a verse again that we read a minute ago. In verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So we know that here's an example of the greatest kind of human love possible is a man laying down his life for his friends. And of course, we've seen examples of that before. I was in Bamsey one time and looking at all of the pictures on the walls of all the people that had won the Medal of Honor. And it's humbling. Because you see story after many of those Medal of Honors awarded posthumously after the person that died because they sacrificed themselves for the sake, because a lot of soldiers, they don't necessarily die for their country, but they do die for their friends. You get bonded together in a military unit and you get to protecting one another. You get to rely on one another. You get to trusting in one another. And so you are dying for your friends. You're protecting them. And man, that happens. And God says that there's no greater love than that. Okay, well, let's take an example. We could use any example. Let's take the example of a soldier. Suppose a soldier sacrifices himself in order that other members of his patrol, his team, can be saved. What is the result? The result of that is that those other soldiers go on to live another day. That they're alive and he's dead. That's the result. But one day, all those other soldiers are going to die too, at some point in time. And so all he's really done is to extend their physical life a little longer, to give them more opportunity to live. And that's all that he's done. Did you know that a man does not have the ability to give another man eternal life? Another man does not have the ability to give you anything other than another day to live. But now let's look at God's love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now here's a doctrinal statement that I hope you get a hold of. Look there back at 1 John. We're going to read a couple of verses here about love, because here's the statement. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we might live another day. No, that we might be called the sons of God. Now let me tell you something that's clear in the Bible. If you're separated from God, you are at enmity with God and you are enemies of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death has separated us from God. Did you know that, and some people make this assumption, they think that everybody is the sons of God. Everybody is his children. Well, we're all his creation. But do you know that he singles out certain people in scriptures and calls them sons of God? And they are separated from others. I'm going to read 1 John, but go to the Gospel of John. Hold your place there in 1 John. John chapter 1. This is talking about Jesus Christ here. And he says in verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. It's talking about the Jews. But as many as received him, both Jews and Gentiles, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. Even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is an incredible thing. That before, we were not sons of God. But because of his love and because of what he did for us, how he laid down his life for us, we could become the sons of God. This is an amazing thing. Now look over there at 1 John in chapter 4. Look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Basically, what this verse is saying is that the wrath of Almighty God upon sin was all laid on Jesus Christ. As the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of those sins is death. And so right now, we're suffering under a judgment. We're suffering under an incredible judgment. And somebody says, well, you know, I just don't believe in a God of judgment. I believe in a God of love. Without the judgment, there would be no love. Without the rescue, without the need for salvation, what need for there? I get a kick out of people that talk about the salvation of God, but that they don't think they're sinners. But what is it that you think you're being saved from, you know? Do you think you're already saved? No, this is what it's talking about. Is you pick up something that's all dirty and broken and nasty, and you say, you know what, I think I'm going to save this, you know? So you pull it out of the trash and you save it. You see, God saved us. God loved us. Now we think of love, we think of this emotional, you know, this connection. Man, I tell you what, that has so little to do. Sometimes that's a byproduct of love. And I'm sure there's not every day when those that love one another feel squishy towards each other. Squishy feelings are not a prerequisite for love. You know what love is? Love is going to do right by the other person. Love means that I'm going to consider the other person regardless of what I feel like. That's true love. Man, if more people could get a hold of that, they'd stay together longer. You see, God loved us. Amen. When there was nothing in us to love.
Amen.
And then He made us the sons of God. He took all of the judgment for us and made us sons of God. That's an incredible kind of love. And when you think about how incredible that really is, just look around and see how many people right now are getting saved. How many people? There are lots. You know, you guys that preach on the streets, 4, 5, 6 a day? I doubt it. Not right now. Certain places in the world, man, thank God, they are, that we hear reports, they're getting saved. China right now is going crazy, you know, and everything they do to try to stop it, it just grows and grows. People are calling on the Lord left and right. That's really cool. But it's a miracle when somebody gets saved. I was just thinking about it the other day. I got my mom here, and I remember there was a day when I went in and I drove to Arizona, kind of like she drove here now. You know, and I sat across the table. You remember that day when I looked at you and I smiled and I said, Mom, guess what? You're going to hell. My mom can still hit. I was excited. Man, I was pumped up, man. I was revved up. I wanted her to know, you know. She didn't interpret it the same way. As we grow, we mellow a little bit, don't we?
I hope so.
You know, by the way, somebody just gets saved and they get all gung-ho. Don't put out their fire too fast.
Amen.
Guide them gently. But, you know, don't put out their fire too fast. You know, let some zeal take place there. It's actually a pretty good thing. Cut each other a little bit of slack.
Amen.
We'd rather have the zeal than the opposite.
Amen.
However, you know, I thought that, man, I was going to give her the news, and immediately she was going to fall on the ground and declare that God is in you of a truth. Didn't happen that way. In fact, I came back and I said, my mom didn't get saved. And they're like, oh, bummer, man. So you started praying, right? And then one day, turns out she gets saved. And I mean, not one of these things where, you know, I know that. No, she knows Jesus Christ to be her only Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And then I got a brother, and the brother, a younger brother, Dan, I think he was the next one, and he got saved. And then my older brother, Ray, then he got saved. And now, you know, I haven't seen it with my own eyes yet. I'm working on it to get over there and see it, but my brother, Wayne, is now saved.
Amen.
And you think, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I don't love anybody that much. Man, I tell you what, hey, I might love you enough to say, hey, man, I got me a gospel tract. You want to read it when you get a chance and maybe come to church? And if you looked at me and you said, man, get that stuff away from me. I don't want to have anything. Maybe the next day I'd try it again. Man, I told you, leave me alone. You know what I'd do? Fine. I'll leave you alone. Maybe never witness to you again. Because you told me, leave me alone. And I, you know, nobody likes to be mistreated, right? Nobody likes to be run off. And so, but God, He just keeps coming. You look at stories in the Bible about how God saved people. God saved Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, who was actually killing Christians. The Christians couldn't even figure that one out. When he saved Paul, they were like, what? They weren't happy and rejoicing. They weren't dancing in Jerusalem. Hey, check it out. Did you hear about it? Saul of Tarsus is preaching the gospel, which he once destroyed. You know, they were just shaking their head and they were saying, don't bring him around here. Get that man as far away from us. You know, the Christians couldn't even handle it. But God saved us. And let me tell you something. God can save you too. You see, that's why He wants you to pay attention. He wants you to see. He wants you to investigate. He wants you to check this thing out. He wants you to see if it's true. He wants you to read this book right here, because He already did what no man could do. A man may be able to save my life for a day, but Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and shed His blood that I might live forever.
Amen.
And there's nothing in me that deserves to live forever. And the same thing about you. There's nothing in you that deserves to live forever. He just freely bestowed it upon us. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Listen, let me tell you something, Christian. The love of God ought to transform your life. You shouldn't be one of these kind of guys walking around bitter and angry and resentful all the time at this and that. Man, the love of God should transform you and everything around you. Let me tell you something. If you're not saved here today, I don't know how I could make it any clearer. God loved you. Can't figure it out, but He loved you. He loved you like no human being could ever love you. And He proved it by going to the cross, because blood had to be shed. A price had to be paid for your sin, and He paid it. He didn't just pay some of it and say, okay, I'll pay part of your debt and you take care of the rest. That's what some salvation people believe, man. They believe that you get your little baptism or whatever and you take care of all that original sin and then the rest is up to you. No, I'm telling you, He did everything. He paid the past sins. He paid the present sins. He paid those sins you haven't even committed yet. He died years ago and shed His blood, and that blood is still effectual. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's why He's saying, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. My prayer today is that if you're not a son of God, you're not sure of where you're going to spend eternity, don't turn down God's love. He's offering it to you right now. The consequences are in eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And it's real too. We haven't preached on that, but it's real. But His offer is extended to you right now. Nothing in the Bible says that this offer is limited to certain individuals. This offer is open to anybody that would call upon His name. Now, what good reason do you have today for turning down the love of God? For putting up your hand and saying, nope, you don't have a good reason. My prayer is that today would be the day that you would bow your head, you'd finally surrender, and you'd ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. You'd repent of your sins towards Him, and that you would find what the love of God is really all about. Let's bow for a word of prayer.